Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Locatora Radio. Locatora Radio. Locatora Radio. Mommies of Myth and Bullshit. A radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Femme.
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to season 5 of Locatora Radio por Casteras Peligrosas. Listen at your own risk.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela, which is just a very extra way of saying a podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I am Mala. Thanks for coming back. If you didn't notice, we are in fact a weekly show. Please tell everybody that you know. Please make sure you're hitting the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode, because we're just churning them out these days every week as a weekly show does.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming to our weekly show. Thanks for tuning in.
You know the drill. We have some updates, some housekeeping. Number one, follow us across socials everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Clubhouse is kind of dead, but it's still a thing. So I don't know. You can find us on there, but we're at locatora_radio. And of course, if you're looking for a findom drain and aspire to be our human wallet, you can escort yourself to our Venmo at locatora-radio and drop some donations. It's a self-funded podcast. You're going to donate directly to the making of.
Yes, you are. So hit the Venmo or become a patron on Patreon at patreon.com/locatora_radio. Also, if you want to support some of our friends and also support us by using our affiliate code, head over to vivecosmetics.com and use affiliate code locatoraradio15 for 15% off of your next purchase from one of our favorite Latina-owned makeup brands. And can I just say that the Get Matte lippies, the liquid lipsticks, are pool proof. They're swim proof. I've worn them in the pool. I've dived in.
No way.
Still have my lippy on.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm telling y'all, they're everything proof. And you know what I mean. They are everything proof, including taking a deep dive, wherever that may be for you. Okay.
All terrain lippies. Yes. Another way that you can support us, Locatora Radio and Locatora Productions, our boutique podcast production house, you can head to ifundwomen.com/projects/Locatora-productions and donate. As you know, Latinx people and people in general love podcasts. So do we. We love making podcasts. So we want to make them all the time. We want a slate of our own original shows. We want to produce just like we have been doing. If you're a listener, you've probably noticed or realized that we have been acting as a production house for years now, right? Because we do everything ourselves from pen to post. And that's exactly what we want to do on a larger scale. So we want to thank all of our pod friends who have donated incentives like Joy of Build with Joy, Yakari Gabriel, Julio Salgado, Kali Fajardo Onstein, and Joanna of the Unapologetically Street series.
Podcasteras Peligrosas.
Hey, Locamores, we have a quick announcement about our iFund Women campaign. As you may have heard, we're raising $100,000 to cover the startup costs of Locatora Productions and pay our team. We are well on our way to reaching our goal, but we still need your help to get there. If all of our listeners and one friend donated $5, we would meet our goal well before 90 days. Consider becoming a funder of Locatora Productions and contribute on ifundwomen.com/project/Locatora-productions. All right, Locamores, we are in for a super sweet treat today. Friend of the podcast, Crisol, is here. She's going to talk to us about all things Crisol, music, being a baddie, stunning for the gram, and everything else that she's up to. Crisol, welcome to Locatora Radio. Can you please say hello to our listeners?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Hola, locamores. I am a long time locamore. Locamore, is that how you say it? That was a singular. I feel like yes. I was part of the collective. yes, I'm a fan and friend. Friend and fan. I'm
excited. Truly. Locamore in Italy only. That's when that applies.
Well, I love that. I need to go to Italy.
We all do. I think that we've all been having some like Lizzie McGuire, Italian, like romance nostalgia. It's been all over the timeline. I mean, just funny that it should come up. The algorithm has been working overtime with the 2000s nostalgia.
Honestly,
it's
I don't know if it's a pandemic hangover for the that's really like catapulted that, but like the way I crave many of the early 2000s, specifically Disney Channel movies, the way I need them back into my life and I've worked them back into rotations, or just like pivotal life-changing movies. The also I've been noticing on your IG, like the stuff that, like what was your bisexual awakening, you know? And like those films that I'm just like, yeah. Like all the same ones that I'm just like, yes, love it.
There's so many, honestly. And like, you realize it later, like as an adult, you don't like maybe recognize it. You see, there's like this like inkling, there's this like curiosity when you're a kid or cause you're still a kid or you're a teenager. But then when you can like process it later as an adult, like, wait a damn minute, I was attracted to this character. It wasn't just that I would like loved this character. There was like, or I saw myself in this character, right? All of that. Yes. I'm like both like living for the early 2000s, like coming back and also hating it. I'm like in that weird, like, please leave the fashion there, but yes, bring back the pop culture, movies, the stars. Yeah. Give me all of it. Give me Bennifer. Give me that.
Yes. Like, I yes to the Manny Santos thong, no to gaucho pants. No, thank you forever to gauchos. I fell for them. I was into them. I did it. And the layered, the V-neck with the tank top underneath also did it. I'm sorry. I don't know. This is my public apology. But yeah, that thinking back, like, I guess like retroactively, like, no pun intended there, but retroactively, like really reviewing all of these moments that I witnessed like in movies and TV, and now being an adult and being like, oh my God, like there was something going on in my brain and now I'm smart enough to process it. And low key, I kind of want to give myself, like, I don't know if you guys get this way, where you'll remember something and the way your brain was dancing around it. And now being an adult, you're almost like a little proud of like, man, I wish I could like high five little Crystal, because she was really onto something. And at the time, she didn't know how to voice it. And maybe, you know, maybe she could have been like the next Greta on the stage talking about like the significance of Coyote Ugly and what it did.
for the bisexuals of our generation.
You know, what did America's Next Top Model do to my development?
Right.
And, you know, being able to process judgment, like it's significant. Sorry. Hello. Hi. I'm a Sagittarius. So I'm like, we're going to talk about many things today.
It's like hard to even figure out where to begin, because we could start with, speaking of retroactive, you have new music coming out. We could start there. We can start with like how we met and how we got to this point. I mean, there's so many entryways.
Let's start with how we met. I think it's a fun place to start, because it's one of my favorite stories.
Yes.
And I'll let you tell it first.
Yes. Diosa was there. We were together. And it was El Grito. I forget the year. It was several years ago now.
2018.
We were
opening for Los Tucanes.
Yes.
A moment so for me.
There we were, just two faces in the crowd, two indie podcasters in a sea of gritones for El Grito, right? So we're there. And on the steps of City Hall, I see a vision in black leather pants. And I said, Yosa, who the fuck is that queen? She sings, she dances, she serves space. Who is she? Yosa, tell them, was I not just like overwhelmed by Crystal's talent?
Mala was so overwhelmed. And I had been put onto you because a friend of mine had booked you for like a community event. And so my friend Cesar was like, you need to check her out. Yeah. And so I started following you. And so when we saw you at El Grito, I was like, Mala, I know who this is. I don't know her, but yes, like you need to go follow her. And I don't know, everything about you sold you to us, but especially the way you mixed, I think it was a Lemonade song, like from Beyonce's album.
It was, yeah. With Beanie Beanie Bum Bum.
You mixed it with Selena. We were like, mind blown. We were losing it. We were screaming. We were dancing. We were crying. We were drinking. It was amazing.
We were sobbing in the crowd.
I really made that medley for the baddies, and it rarely goes fully acknowledged. So I'm happy that after all these years, I'm happy that really stuck with you, because two queens from Houston, Hold Up is in the same key and same chord. Relatively chord progression as Beanie Beanie Bum Bum. So we just do this little breakdown, and that, like, yeah, you have to, I'll try to record it. I don't know, Selenamos is back right now, so maybe we'll do some, actually film my performances. But yeah, okay, guys, I'm really happy you guys remember that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, what a lovely memory. Yeah, so from my end, I mean, I just remember El Grito being pure madness, because, you know, of course it's Tucanes, right? And like this, like, God bless the city of LA, but they did not prepare to have, I don't think they anticipated Tucanes to have such a high level or an elite setup, which I'm just like, well, how embarrassing for you guys to not know that. Because when they
drag the city.
No, and I will, because yes. For us, like, because that day I was sick, I was not feeling well, I was running around screaming. Our set got cut by like 20 minutes because they let everybody else run over, and Tucanes were like, I don't care, we're going on at what time we're going on. But more, the thing that kills me is that, like, I've always been the type of musician to show up on time, and it's rare. Like, it's really not like a thing that happens a lot. And so we showed up on time, but Tucanes were running late. But I'm like, they've earned it. But of course, when they finally showed up, they're like, we have our own entire sound rig. We don't need anything you provided. So our setup, not only did it get delayed 4 hours, but they basically built an entire other rig next to the thousands of dollars of equipment the city of LA rented to try to accommodate them, because they didn't communicate. So then, like, it was just a mess. So I'm glad the show went well, because on my end, I was like, up until that very moment, I was like sweating, and I'm like, all right, showtime, it's time to put it away. But like, that was a lot. So that was your guys' first time seeing me. My first time seeing you guys was I think Locatora Radio had already been around for about, because I went to your second anniversary, correct? I believe that's what it was at the Civic Center.
Yeah. Was it number two? Was it
yours? It was number two. Because I had seen you guys floating about and I'm like, this podcast is really dope. You guys are super cute. Wow. And then the Osa followed me and I was like, oh my God. And like at that point, I was still very green to the scene. So like getting in with like a lot of this community when people would follow me or follow me first, especially, I'm like, oh, I'm like the type of person like refreshing all the time just to follow people back and like get on that. So I was very excited to get connected with you guys. And then you guys had DM'd me to invite me to the second year anniversary thing. And I was like, holy smack, this feels very cool. I don't feel cool enough to be invited to such a cool thing. I don't know. It was very like imposter syndrome for a little bit. When I finally got there, you guys were so nice. So nice. And then met a lot of great people that night. You know, Brenda, Chicharani. We also like became fast friends that evening as well. And then I was just like, you guys are the sickest. And it was the coolest, like, it was everything I wanted to start doing already at that moment. Like, you guys put together this entire event. You had great guests. Like, you guys were really funny on stage. I was like equally as blown away watching this like little universe you guys had like built. And it was only the second year. Like, in my mind, you guys had already like, I'm like, these are celebs. This is great. You know, and then like, and so being in that just felt very cool to like rub elbows and be around everybody. So that was like my first experience. But then later we did the, what's it called? The short film that you guys did.
Yeah, Loquitas Anonymous.
Loquitas Anonymous. Yes.
Yeah.
And that was very cool.
Crisol has been involved now in several of our projects, starting with Loquitas Anonymous. Crisol does some acting. She's looking gorgeous. She's part of the, you know, the
Loquitas Anonymous. C32.
Bitch C32 was her code name. Yes, part of the Loquitas Anonymous universe. If you have not seen Loquitas Anonymous and did not know that we also write and produce and act in short films, you can go to YouTube our YouTube channel and watch Loquitas Anonymous. It's an 8-minute short.
Thank you for saying that, Grisol. Oh. Sorry, just to go back a little bit, like, thank you for acknowledging that was year two, because you're right. That was year two.
I was blown away. Blown away. Like, you guys should applaud yourselves for that more often, because I've been there having to produce shows by myself and like get all these people to come in, and like you feel like you're asking for the moon, but then when you actually get the genuine support that you need, like, you really make something amazing happens. But it starts with you guys being authentic and amazing, you know what I mean? And like, that was year two, and it's only gotten bigger and better since then. And like, Loquitas Anonymous was year three. Like, that's wild to me. That's like that little 8-minute and the film was great. Like, I actually was really hoping for like a comic book, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm hoping all this stuff, maybe I don't want to spoil things, but I'm hoping all this stuff still happens.
Oh yeah.
Because like, that's, it's just such a,
yeah, leave that there. We will revisit in the future
shortly. But, yes.
Okay. You know what? Anyway, thank you so much, but please enough about us. We want to hear about you.
Crisol must be stopped.
Yes, sorry. I love the
way you love your friends and your community members out loud. You're very supportive. You're a very supportive artist.
Yes.
Both like literally right now and on
literally right at this exact moment.
And also in the digital space. So thank you so much. But oh, like, my God. You know, we invited you because we want to hear about you and your work and your upcoming work.
All right. Let me get vain for a second.
Get to like the upcoming, the new stuff, let's take it back a little bit and let's just do a quick check-in, right?
Yeah.
2020 was a garbage fire of a year. It was a hellscape. We're still recovering. It's not technically over. It feels like it's over, but it's not. So like, check in. How are you doing? You're like, California has now reopened at full capacity. You're getting booked. Like,
yes.
Talk to us.
Yeah. Take us back to like when the pandemic started. Cause I remember we were talking about it and like the bookings, the shows, the income, like the work, just everything. Take us back to then and then bring us to now.
Yeah. It feels like, you know, like in a roller coaster when you go up in a loop and you just meet at the same point, the bottom, and you keep going on the roller coaster. That's exactly what 2020 feels like. And I just got stuck upside down. in that loop. Like, that's the only way I can physically describe how the feeling felt, being an independent, fully supporting myself on music. I was working at East Side Love just before the pandemic. I'd been doing that on and off for like a couple years, but like that really wasn't like paying my rent. You know, most of my income was from music, and the pandemic started kind of like, you know, being people like places with large crowd, like, you know, being in an industry with like large crowds. Pandemic was really like surfacing in those areas, like around February, you know, late January, February. People like, oh, have you heard about this COVID thing? You heard about this Wuhan virus? You know, all these things they wanted to call it. And I just remember like people being like, oh, okay, maybe we won't do this thing in March. We'll see what happens. You know, and it was like things that were in the works suddenly got canceled. And then I get to the end of February and I lost a festival, just was like, you know, we're not going after it. And then I'll never forget it. It was like February 28th. I'm in the studio. And one thing about what I do or what I did pre-pandemic, I employ anywhere from like 5 to 8 musicians at one time. I do music directing, I band direct, and am I their only source of income? No, but I do pay my musicians, and I like to say that I pay them pretty well, and we gig a lot. 2019, we were very busy, and we were going to be even busier getting into 2020. So we had pretty much stuff locked in all the way up until September. And I just remember this one day, I'm in the studio recording for my EP Lovely that I dropped in September. And that was actually slated to come out in the beginning of summer too, you know, like not the fall, you know? And so I'm in there doing some tracks, and within 10 minutes I get 5 phone calls. Just individually myself, I lost about $5,000 to $6,000 of income within those 10, you know what I mean? Like, that was how much like I had writing. And then like, you know, it's equivalent, like that's, I pay my guys. So like they're losing thousands of dollars over a couple months of income for themselves. And it's like, geez, what the heck is happening? And this happened within 10 minutes. And then we go a little more further into March, and then it's just like, everything shut down. You can't gather, you can't see people. Like, we are collaborators. They're my friends, you know? And you just don't know. And everybody's going through such a weird, hard time losing their livelihoods that you don't even know you didn't even know how to reach out to somebody and say, are you okay? Cause you're not okay either. So it was really professionally and very personally, very difficult. I feel for a lot of, not just musicians, but most artists or most people that rely on public and open spaces to make their income. I knew a lot of bartenders that were struggling, and it was also crazy too, because, as the pandemic raged on, you know, you get all this, you're just inundated with information. You see a lot of people are getting their stride. They're doing really well. They're either going, you know, they're going on TikTok, or a lot of people are hiding. And then you get this social justice movement that's happening. A lot of us are artists who feel empathy. And then you just get this weight of heavy, like, what do I do? I wasn't even doing enough before the pandemic. Like, what am I supposed to do now? And then top it off, being a creator who has a family who's mostly in like a normal professional working space. So yeah, they all had to work from home for a little while, but like nobody in my family really missed a beat. No one missed checks. No one missed, you know, actually, if anything, my brother had like, two of my brothers had kids and like moved on with their lives and like had wives and women and, you know, and lots of blessings happened in my family. So I'm internally also not able to voice how hard it was on me. Up until I really did, you know, I'm just being very transparent about like the mental toll it took, because like, I also try not to be a burden to those that I loved, because they're all experiencing such happiness in this weird time. So it's like, you're resentful, but you're also happy. And it's like, it was weird, and you want to write about it, but you're also like, oh, I don't want to like exploit my own vanity, you know, my trauma for my vanity. It's weird. It was really weird. And then around September, you know, to shine a, you know, to some positivity, I was happy to do, like, I really did, like, I got back into cooking, and, you know, you just did all the that part of the pandemic that was a vibe, started roller skating, you know, connected with Mala and a few other friends, people, and you, Diosa, too, like, friends that I really don't think I would have had the time to interact with, because I would have been so much busier in 2020. My circle completely changed, because I started connecting with people, because we're A, having a shared experience, but now we have time to talk, and it's not networking. And like, hey, nobody's working. So if I'm reaching out to you, it's genuinely because like, I have the mental energy to, and I find you interesting. And there's a lot more, I don't know, just so like, that was also a very interesting dynamic. And the friends that I feel like I solidified over the pandemic were just like, it just felt really rewarding. And then getting into September, it's been a dream of mine since I was a kid to also act, but you know, and I never really had the confidence to pursue it the way that I did music. But the one thing I can finally sum this up to of what that I learned throughout the pandemic is that if the world told me you will never be able to sing on a public stage ever again, what are you going to do? I'm still going to find myself in a quiet room by myself banging on a piano. You know, I'm still going to try to sing. I'm still going to try to create and perform. And it's literally the only thing I thought of, obviously, other than my family and loved ones and all that stuff. But it's the only thing I thought of for the entire pandemic was how to continue to be the artist that I want to be without any monetary like incentive. So it really solidified that, like, if you have this dream and you were able to like sit with it in the trenches with it and still have it and still hold on to it and have hope, it's what you want to do and it's your purpose on the planet. So I let go of this like, okay, I can't act because I need to focus on music. I don't want people to think it's not part of my brand. And I'm like, what? Like, I want to act because I want to act, or I want to, you know, I want to produce because I want to produce, or I want to learn, I want to get better at piano because it's part of what I do, you know, and not having these, like, these doubts of, like that, again, that imposter syndrome, or that you're not good enough to do certain things. Like, I'm like, it could all go away tomorrow and you're still going to want it. Just do it.
Absolutely. Like adapting to the world and to circumstances, but still doing the things that we love. And I just kind of want to piggyback on also just continuing and going and doing it, even when literally the world is shutting down. Everything seems to be against you. There's no money. There seems like there's sometimes like the momentum feels like it's slowing down. Like, but just persisting and continuing to put out work. If you listen to this podcast, you've probably seen me ranting and raving on Twitter about how Crystal should have been cast as Selena in Selena the series. Because I stand by that shit, and because I believe it, and because there's so much talent out here. And I think of Crystal, obviously I think of us in our own way. There are so many others in our little LA Latinx creative community that are hyper talented, that are really self-funding, self-producing, really impressive bodies of work. I mean, the Lovely EP, I'm obsessed with. It's so good. Go stream Lovely. Let it be lovely, bitch. Like, it's amazing. The disco feels are everything. If you like to skate, this is definitely the EP for you. But, you know, it's like, we know talent when we see it. And you don't have to be someone raking in millions of dollars in order for us to acknowledge that you're talented. You know what I mean? Like, one doesn't need a record deal in order for us to acknowledge the talent that is just there. And we wanted also to have Crystal on the podcast because we believe that we are catching tomorrow's like superstars, right? Like, while they're still accessible to us, while we can still get to them. And Crystal is one of those people. So go follow her, go stream her music. You have a new body of work coming out called Retroactive that I would love for us to start talking about to get the people pumped because it's coming soon.
Yes. So released one EP during the pandemic, like in September or whatever, things started opening up. And then I looked back at my catalog and I'm like, again, part of this whole addressing fear, addressing not self-doubt, not being good enough, confidence. And I looked back at my catalog and I was like, there is some good shit here that I talked myself out of releasing for a number of reasons. So I kind of went in and I'm grateful that I waited because now I'm a much better, more sound musician and I'm able to ask specifically for what I want. So I wrote one brand new track and then there's three songs that are, I wrote them. Funny, they were both written and all of them each were probably done in about under an hour, but they were done in under an hour like 6 years ago. And then they just sat there in the dust of demos as they do. And so I kind of made this pun on like retroactively releasing music that was written from the past, but you know, it's current now and it's still of me. And so I put them all together and now I have another record that I'm very excited about that a year ago I did talk myself out of putting this music out because I don't know why. I really don't. I'm like, sometimes I want to shake her, you know? But the EP is titled, it's called Retroactive. There's four songs. I have a single, the lead single off the EP is called Juliet. It's going to drop on July 2nd. And then I'm just trying to figure out the timeline of when this will air, but like it'll drop on July 2nd. The entire EP is going to be out July 23rd. I'm very, very proud of this little body of work. Like I said, it's a mix of like me being confident enough to release stuff that I had in the vault, but also one of the tracks is a song that I like had a huge hand in producing. So I'm very, very proud of it. And yeah, you know, it's with my usual collaborators, DMS. He worked with me on my first EP. I also brought in someone new. His name's Rich Gonzalez. He's a person I wrote that song Adams with, but he produced two of the tracks on this. Trying to make sure I don't forget anybody else that's involved. But oh, so I worked, did some vocal work with Brian Gazzo, who plays drums in my band. And yeah, it's just, I'm very, very excited to be putting out new music. And this is gonna slap. Like I'm literally listening to it so much that I'm starting to hate myself a little bit, but I'm very excited about it. And I'm sure the second it's out in the world, I'll be like, I don't want to hear it ever again. But right now, because it's mine and I'm kind of just like hugging it before I release it to you all, I literally can't listen to anything else. And I'm hoping once I give it out to the world, you guys will all have the same experience with that I did. Cause it's great. It's vibes.
It's a banger. Juliet is a banger.
Sure. I'm sure we will all love it. Thank you so much for adding or sharing that you went into your vault and like pulled some songs out, right? You revisited past work, because I think like as artists, we're so pressured to like create new stuff constantly, but sometimes we're like sitting on work that like we haven't visited in a long time, and it just takes revisiting and like revamping and editing and then putting that out into the world in whatever way that looks for like each person.
Yeah.
And so I love that you shared that, because a lot of the times we got to step away and then we come back and we see it with a fresh set of eyes.
Honestly. And then I also think that too, there should be no shame in putting something out in a few years, looking at it and be like, I'm going to rework this. It's yours. You know, it's yours. You put it out there and it becomes somebody else's, and maybe you revamp it and you think it's better, but someone's like, I really like the old version, you know? But I read somewhere, somewhere just on the internet, and it just said how like the moment you release a song is the most like infancy stage of the song, because once it's out, that's like the, you know, it's the newest, it's the earliest, it's its beginning, and you just perform it and you work it, and it just, by the time you get to the end of your life or you get to the next album, that song has changed so much. And like, so really the songs that you put out, or the body of work, or the writings, or whatever, as you grow, even if you go back and change it, you know what I mean? Or like the way you deliver a poem, you know what I mean? It's going to change as you change, but that doesn't mean that in the beginning of it was any less valid or bad. It was just what you could do at the time. And you kind of like, it's like I said, it's all that self-doubt and that fear, you know, it's not going to go away, but you have to learn to either ebb and flow with it. Or sometimes, yeah, just like, be like, shut up. I have to do this against your perfectionist sensibilities and really just let it out, you know? Inhala, exhala. And divine timing, giving in a little bit to divine timing really helps, because like, had I dropped these songs 6 years ago when I wrote them in the 10 minutes after I finished them, I don't even know where I would be, who I'd be around, and if they'd be as good, honestly, they probably wouldn't.
Yeah. I echo Diosa's sentiment too about needing to put out new work. Also with social media and TikTok and the algorithm, putting out new work every day, multiple times a day, just constantly churning out work. We've never really been about
exhausting.
That. We can't, it's too much. And is the stuff good? Does it stand? What's it for? You know, so relieved, honestly, to like have this conversation about like taking a breath and like letting the work breathe and grow the way that it should, because it's a living thing, right?
And when
you rush something, it's going to feel and look and sound rushed.
Exactly. And like, to be honest, like I hate churning out mediocrity for the sake of volume. That to me, like, it, cause we're not like, it's one thing to do like story posts or like something, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you do things daily that are like not as crazy commitment. Posting a selfie is not the same as you posting a body of work, a music video, or, you know, like, it's not the same. I mean, both of your selfies are works of art. I'm not saying that. It's more just like, but you know what I mean? But it's it's a different type of like content than, you know, when you are creating something that's of you, you know, and that has to take patience. And like my big gripe, and I'm going to talk my shit a little bit, because being a proud Latina, part of the Latinx community, I want to make sure that I'm a part of this community that's churning out quality content. And I'm a firm believer that the friends I've surrounded myself with are able to deliver that quality content. And if we all like make sure that we're holding each other accountable to that quality and supportive, but also being, you know, really honest, like, you know, like, because all it's going to do is uplift and create, you know, set the standard, and it's going to, you know, turn more eyeballs towards us. Like, we really have to be adamant about demanding quality of ourselves and of our friends. And, you know, it doesn't mean to shit on everybody's work either. You know what I mean? But really just like, yes, like you see someone shining and it's like, yes, let's amplify this. Because I mean, really, like, we call it the movie scene or whatever, or the film industry or the music industry, but really it's all like it's the gatekeepers. It's, you know, call it the, you know, the white man or whatever it is, like
the tastemakers, allegedly.
But like Ebert and Grobert, like they rip each other, you know, like these people rip each other apart. You know, they're very critical of people that look the same as they do. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I'm not saying shit on everything, but we really need to just be like, hey, let's amplify the quality and not let things fail upwards.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right. It's so true. It's so, you know, true, and because, sorry, Crisol, I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
but I did want to say, like, we notice that when we put something out, there are certain people that will engage, and there are certain people that you expect to engage and support and share and uplift that don't. And so just like a reminder, when your folks, even if they're not your folks, right, they're just someone that you appreciate their art, even if they're, maybe that you don't exactly fuck with them either, but you do support what they do, like that kind of sharing. And especially now with the algorithm, like I think a lot of us are being very like conscientious of like, yeah, we're going to share this and we're going to comment, because like we know that the indie creators like need that extra boost, because if not, it will flop. And it doesn't mean that it's a flop, but sometimes social media makes you feel like it is a flop.
Yeah, it's like a weird dance that you have to do where it's like, all right, well, indie, we have to band together. But then it's also like, we also don't want to throw a like or a share or a follow behind something that we don't truly believe in. But then how can you deny when your entire circle is incredibly talented? You know what I mean? And that's where I'm more just like looking at your peers and being like, hey, we're all like being very cognizant of each other's strengths, encouraging things, being like, hey, you know what, man? Like, this is like, I don't know. Like, again, people don't need my opinions. I'm like, I'm not saying your art isn't valid, but it's like, if we're contributing as part of like a Latino scene, I'm just like, we have to be unafraid to like really deliver honest opinions, really give genuine support.
Yeah.
That's another thing. If you're not giving genuine support, it's just as bad as giving a bad critique. Cause then you're getting this, you know what I mean? Like I don't know. It's a weird dance to do, because it's like, it is your friends. We're all independent, but I'm like, I'd much rather have people tell me like, yo, Crisol, this is like not that good. You know what I mean? But that's how I
yeah.
Or like, hey, Crisol, like this, like, you know, someone who's, you know, who's willing to mentor me, be like, hey, by the way, I see the potential in this. You missed the mark by this much. I've had people straight up tell me that in a very nice way. Like, you're so almost there. It's crazy. And I'm like, thank you. Cool. That basically, you know, at the very least, I'm looking in the right direction. You know what I mean? That doesn't make me feel like trash.
I think for us, a lot of what it is like, almost when you see that somebody near you or around you is putting together something like truly excellent and amazing, like when we're impressed by the people around us, it really makes us, okay, well, how do we do something like that? How do we do something similar? How do we do something completely different than that? That's our own, but, you know, is kind of like giving us that same inspiration. Like if the artist and the work that you're surrounded by is, you know, garbage, then maybe you're not as compelled. I don't know. I think to each their own, it's different. One thing that we do notice is like, you know, on the internet, and we talk about the internet so much just because like, it's free PR and that's everything. And we don't have PR people, and all your favorite artists Everybody who's like selling millions and making millions and stadiums, they have PR people pushing their shit constantly. Like they have teams, armies of people pushing their stuff out to you so that you know who they are. We don't have any of that, right? We have to push it out ourselves with our itty bitty fingers on our phones. Literally, it's just phones on fingers pushing our shit out to you guys. And that's why we talk about it so much, because it really does matter. And what we see a lot of is some of the biggest accounts with the most followers and the most interaction and the most engagement in the Latinx space, mind you. They're meme accounts. And a lot of it is fucking trash ass memes. I'm going to say it, trash ass memes. Accounts that are highly homophobic, that are highly xenophobic, that display anti-Blackness, that are really fucking corny and trashy, like in ungood ways, in ways we don't like, you know? Yeah. But yeah, they get the most engagement and the most followers and the most, you know, and so it's just a little frustrating, because then we try and sort of, okay, well, this is how the algorithm's working. Let's throw a meme on our page. That shit gets the most likes and the most engagement and the most interaction.
I think one of my highest performing posts one time was like a little meme format that I did, which is hilarious. But you know, I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of essentializing what it means to be Latino, and essentializing what it means to be a Latinx artist, or especially a female Latina artist. You know, that I must look or perform a certain way. Like I want to be able to. And then, you know, even with this music, you know what I mean? Like this music that I'm, you know, to tie it back to that, like that I'm putting out, I'm in love with it. I'm excited, and I'm also highly terrified, because genre wise, I don't know, like, if it's what people are going to expect of me. It's definitely a step of where I'm going, you know what I mean? Because even the next album is going to be different, because I'm growing, you know what I mean? And like, I keep thinking, well, shit, and people will call me straight up, like, you should do this. Have you heard of this artist? You should be like her, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but I'm not her. If you want her, go hire her, you know, like, but I'm also like, it is that essentialization, you know what I mean? Like, I've had people tell me multiple times, like, oh, you should be doing like lowrider oldie stuff. And I'm like,
no.
You know, and I'm like,
no.
And I'm like, no. And like, or like, oh, they're telling me, like, why don't you do mariachi? Why don't you do like super pop or whatever? Or like, or, you know, and then they'll ask me to do typical or like reggaeton, you know what I mean? I'm like, I love and appreciate. I don't doubt I won't ever write those kinds of songs even, you know, but like, to have that imposed on me because it's more comfortable for you to see me as a Latina artist in a space that you've essentialized me in is something that I'm just trying to like, I'm almost like passively or subconsciously breaking away from it by like just writing and looking and doing whatever I want. You know what I mean? Like, I like that I'm a little bit of a tomboy, but can also go very femme. I like that I do disco, but can also do a ballad. You know what I mean? And if that makes it so that I can't go mainstream successful, fine. But I also think there's a lot more kids, because I'm first generation, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a lot more people that grew up like me that are just starting to wake up, and now they're my age and they have disposable income, you know what I mean? They're throwing their likes and their money behind things that they see that that resonate with them. Kind of like, you know, how you were talking about the Osa earlier, like we look back and we see the things that like really stuck with us when we were younger. And now that we're older, we're like, oh, I like this. This changed me. I had a thought about it. I'm older and understand it now. Let me now put my money behind things that continue to make me feel that way, because I'm proud of that feeling. I'm proud of thinking differently, and that I was always on this path. And now I'm old enough to actually speak on it. Yes.
Yes, queen. Yes, queen. Yes. Well, my friends, it has been a glorious interview. You have not heard the last of Crisol. Crisol is actually the music supervisor on our upcoming show, Marihuanera, a web series about weed, a podcast for potheads. You're going to hear Crisol singing. You're going to see her dancing and acting and all these gorgeous things in Marihuanera. Not only that, but Crisol does have new music coming out with Retroactive and her new EP Juliet coming out. Crisol, where can people follow you? Where can they find you, and where can they listen to your music?
Yes. So right now I currently have an EP up. It's titled Lovely. There's four tracks on there you can check out, and also two other singles on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, anywhere you stream. But my new EP titled Retroactive is going to be available July 23rd. I have a single, Juliet, that's going to be dropping just before that. So you can check that out. That'll be available July 2nd. You can follow me on Instagram at follow me on TikTok. I promise I'm going to wake up on there at some point. I'm more of a stalker right now, just scrolling everybody's content, but you can follow me on TikTok as well. I also do have a Patreon that, you know, has a few tiers for like different types of access. I do exclusive performances for Patreon, you know, a bunch of cool little stuff in studio that I, a studio that I have to record, as well as a great many other goodies like early access to tickets for shows and yada, yada, yada. So you can check me out there. And yeah, and then you can also find me stalking Mana's IG. So find me in her comments. Same thing for Dioza. You guys.
Love
just,
it.
I'm just on the internet just sharing and liking people's posts.
Oh, beautiful. Well, that's that. We did it. That's the
end. Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys. Thank you.
This has been another episode. Make sure that you comment, you rate, you share, give us a like, give us a follow. You know the drill. Besitos.
Besitos.
Locatora Radio. A radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Fem.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinz Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need, backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barata-papa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And... Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.